WNYC launched a new podcast series this week. It's called Caught, and it's about the nation's juvenile justice system. We have a report for you now on one element of that system that's featured in this week's episode, an ambitious local program called Close to Home. As WNYC's Fred Mogul reports, just as the program is beginning to hit its stride, Governor Cuomo wants to eliminate the state's financial support.
A new twist in the case of three teenagers accused of raping a woman.
When the city's Administration for Children's Services makes the evening news, it's usually pretty grim.
Authorities tell us the boys are only 16 years old, from Brooklyn, but they are being charged as adults.
So when three teens escaped a group home in Brooklyn in the spring of 2015, it put an unwelcome spotlight on a new ACS juvenile detention program.
We're learning they live in a supervised home, so why were they out unsupervised in Chinatown during the overnight hours?
The city and state forged the Close to Home program back in 2012 to rehabilitate juvenile delinquents in small neighborhood-based residences instead of large upstate prisons. 6 years and many problems later, the city and youth advocates say Close to Home is finally delivering on its promise.
From the legal aid's perspective and our client's perspective, this program is successful.
That's attorney Tammy Steckler from Legal Aid, which represents most of the 1,600 young people with delinquency cases in family court. Records show that in Close to Home, fewer detainees are going AWOL or getting rearrested after release, and more are attending school and graduating.
It's not perfect, but it's a better system than was in place, and it's better for the families of New York City.
There are only about 150 juvenile offenders in the program. It's been shrinking as more and more judges place young people with legal problems with their parents, relatives, or foster families. But last year's Raise the Age law redefined who goes through the adult criminal justice system and who goes through the juvenile one. So city officials like John Dixon are getting ready for the Close to Home program to more than double in size.
It's going to increase over the course of several years because the legislation calls for 16-year-olds becoming children this year and 17-year-olds next year.
But even though the joint city-state program is set to expand, the Cuomo administration wants to eliminate state spending on it.
We're unable to continue the same level of fiscal support that we have had to the city in the past.
That's Sheila Poole, who runs the state agency that oversees family services, justifying the cut to skeptical legislators at hearings in January. Without that funding, the city would have to kick in an additional $30 million for the program and would become the only place in New York where juvenile detention doesn't get any money from Albany. The budget fight is the latest problem for a program that has confronted many of them since it was first created.
My name is Vinny Schiraldi. I'm the co-director of the Columbia Justice Lab.
Mayor Michael Bloomberg hired Schiraldi about 8 years ago to help overhaul the juvenile detention system. At the time, Schiraldi was a national leader in juvenile justice reform who had helped turn around the probation program in Washington, D.C.
Things were absolutely nuts when I got back to New York. It was bedlam.
We're talking over eggs at a diner in Brooklyn, not far from where Schiraldi grew up. He says he got his start almost 40 years ago in college, working as a house parent in small group homes for juvenile delinquents. But later, during the era of mass incarceration, cities across New York closed most of these homes and sent juveniles to large upstate detention centers that often resembled adult prisons.
Kids were having their teeth knocked out and bones broken for trivial issues like swiping some extra dessert or talking when they weren't supposed to talk.
Schiraldi had to figure out how to bring roughly 600 children close to home by recreating the old, small-scale, neighborhood-based group residences.
The conversation was around what makes these kids tick, what's their issues, what's the problems we need to solve.
Is it child abuse, substance abuse, mental health?
And we essentially had this rare opportunity where we could design a system from scratch, and that's what we did together.
It took about 2 years and more than $50 million to get the group homes up and running. By 2012, there were more than 30 of them around the city in Westchester County. They built more than they needed because they didn't know how many kids were coming.
There's sort of no way to know what the judges will do until you're standing in front of them with kid A, kid B, kid C. So we had to sort of guess at it. And initially, there was real concern that the judges might put more kids in these programs.
So some facilities sat empty, fully staffed, for months. And there were other problems, too. The first year, close-to-home residents ran away more than 700 times. Inside the facilities, there were frequent fights and arrests. City Controller Scott Stringer found that ACS wasn't actively monitoring the private firms that managed the homes. For instance, they made only a third of the surprise visits they were supposed to make to each facility annually.
Meaning countless safety and security issues that put children in harm's way could have gone unnoticed for more than a year.
We just simply didn't have the staff and the staffing resources to be able to provide the level of intensive monitoring that I think we now have in place.
John Dixon, who runs the program today, says ACS inspectors quadrupled their visits to close-to-home facilities in both of the last 2 years, well beyond their minimum obligation.
I think that that has clearly changed the climate. Today, I think we have a much clearer handle on what is going on at our sites, and we're able to take corrective action immediately.
It took a little while to get it running smoothly, but I actually think it worked pretty effectively, pretty quickly, given that the magnitude of the change.
That's Tammy Steckler from Legal Aid again. She says kids are getting to see their families and support networks more easily, and they're able to go to school.
Our clients were now remaining in the New York City educational system, so that credits that they were receiving during placement were transferable, which is huge, because what happens when a 17-year-old is in a ninth grade curriculum or class is they stop going.
Both ACS and its watchdogs say there's still much to do. Neighborhood organizer Jeanette Bocanegra, whose son was once incarcerated as a juvenile delinquent, would like to see ACS and its private providers help people cut through bureaucratic red tape.
I won't give anybody an A, put it this way.
Bocanegra says the agency also has to provide better services when detainees finish their sentences and go home. One young woman she's working with has gotten pregnant since being discharged. She has no family and is now living in a homeless shelter.
Right now, she's on her own, and we try our best to try to connect her with the right support, but it's like our hands are tied also.
ACS has its hands full. Starting next fall, about 5,000 New York City teens are expected to leave the adult system and join the juvenile one. Close to Home is just one of several city programs the state hasn't yet committed to funding. The budget is due by April 1st. Fred Mogul, WNYC News.
For a deep dive into the Close to Home program, check out episode 2 of our podcast series, Caught, which dropped yesterday. You can find it on iTunes or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.